Today's scripture is Psalm 91, verses 9 through 16. And in your pew Bible, it's on page 518. And if you happen to be using the large print, it's page 674. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation.
Let's turn to our gospel lesson. This is the Gospel of Mark, 10th chapter, 17th verse. I will only be reading through the 22nd. If it is your desire to stand, and you are able and comfortable to do so, and can hear the gospel more clearly, I invite you to stand as it is read to you, as it is read in our midst. The word of God in the midst of the people of God. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone." Jesus said, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And you shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." Jesus said to the young man, "Teacher," or no, the man said to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these things since my youth." Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, the rich man was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. The word of the Lord. I want to thank Earl. He's helping. We're working on the technology, so we ask you to be patient with us. I brought his laptop up here because I brought him the wrong connect. Never mind. We're going to be talking about a sermon that I wanted to do last week when Paula filled in and did a beautiful job. She spelled me as I had a case of the measles. I finally got a laugh out of that. Nobody else. Let's turn, though, to this is the painting by Heinrich Hoffmann, 1889, Christ and the Rich Man. It's in all of the Synoptic Gospels. It's in all four. It's not in John, but that's not unusual. It's an important pericope. It's an important story, and it's a teaching lesson that Jesus gives us. And it's worth our taking some time to spend. Jesus, you heard the story. The rich man comes to Jesus. "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What is it that I'm supposed to be about?" What does Jesus answer him? It's the Ten Commandments. It's what he's saying there, isn't it? And he hits several of them. You heard those, didn't you? Did you hear there was one there that was, "You shall not defraud." It's not really one of the Ten Commandments. It's not part of the Decalogue. It fits perfectly if we're not to bear false witness, if we're to be honest, not steal, then not defrauding fits right in. It's piece and parcel of what it's about. But Jesus continuing to teach, and it's an exciting thing. The man responds, "Teacher, I've kept all these since my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him. He loved him. Then the young man, he finds out that he has to give away and help the poor. The translation says, "Give all your money to the poor," and that may not be the most accurate translation. It may mean give what you have to do to help those less fortunate. Use your resources. It's not just about money at all, and somehow we get caught up in that. But your gifts, use those to help those in need. When he heard that, he was shocked and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Now, it's unique in Mark's version that it says Jesus loved him. So my question is, after all of that happened, after the young man was in the midst of that, did Jesus stop loving him now? Think about that. What is love anyway? What is love? There's love for us, hearts and romance and valentines. Is that love? Is that what Jesus was thinking when he said to the man he loved him? Even better, this is, Melissa will tell you, this is love. This is romance and kissing. Melissa is caught up in that right now. There are a lot of people caught up in that. We hear about that. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's not going to fit, though, is it? That's not what we're talking about. He looked at him and loved him. I love my shoes. I love my car. I love the Broncos. Is this the kind of love that we're talking about? And you know, you hear all this and you hear about love. Hollywood couples are the best. They fall in love. And then you hear that they fell out of love. They fell out of love. What happened? Did you stumble? Fall in it? What happened? How do you fall out of love? What in the world is, how is that possible? What did we hear in 1 Corinthians 13? There's no such thing. Love never fails. So how does that fit in with how we look at and explore love? Jesus looked at him and loved him. Love, love. What is this love? We need to understand there's several words in Greek that we translate all of them to love. Eros, I knew I was going to do this. Epithemia. And I can say it until I'm ready to say it in the middle of a pronunciation. Never mind. Philios and agape. Agapeos. Love. The first one is eros. That's the desire for the beloved. It's not used in the New Testament, but we hear it in Hebrew in the Songs of Solomon. This is the love we're talking about. Cupid is the perfect epitome, is it not? Isn't this where we are about? I have to move to the other. Here we go. Solomon. Honey, I'll talk to my wife. Kiss me. Make me drunk with your kisses. Your sweet love is better than wine. You are fragrant. You are myrrh and aloes. Is this the love that Jesus is talking about with the rich man? It isn't. This is a good and important love. It's epitomized in Solomon, and it's a part of who and what we are, and needs to be respected. This is not the same love we're hunting for. Epithemia. This is about desire. This is about something else. Matthew used the word, everyone who looks at a woman with love has already committed adultery with her in his heart. He's using this word that gets translated to love. And the word really is lust. That's a different word, a different place. We don't need to go any further, do we? Philios, philia. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now, I've got a great percentage of my family here this morning. This is pretty wonderful. And I love my family. This is the filial love. And the love, sometimes, do you love all your brothers and sisters? All the time? I call them in-laws and outlaws. Because sometimes we love them, but, you know, we don't as much, but they're still family, and there's still that filial tie. Even when they do things that drive us nuts, we still love them in a way. We're still about that. That's that family bond, that bond of mother to child, father to son, mother to son, father to daughter. All of that, that's the connection, it's blood, and it even goes so far sometimes. Sometimes your best friends are family, but you're not related to them. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes you meet people that they're like brother or sister to you, and they'll be lifelong, and you're connected, and you always will be. That's filial love. That's okay. That's a wonderful thing. The last is agape. This is the love that God expresses to us. And we try, from hearing that and understanding God's love, we try and follow along. But Christ said, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love you, who love them. So this love is another question. And it is about something else. There's the word in Greek. How many of you can read that? Okay, somebody give it to me. It's Greek to me. Never. I'm trying to find my place. Give me just a second here. Here is the passage, Mark 10:21. This is called an interlinear translation. You can see at the top, and I'm going to walk over here. That's the Greek on the top line. You see it up there, and it's Greek to me. And then the English transliteration of those Greek words with that. And then the English that it's translated into. So that phrase, if we take it straight across, Jesus, having looked up, him, loved him. That doesn't roll as smoothly in English, does it? So we change it just a little bit to make it work for us, and we come up with that. But that's that word, agape. Jesus loved him, agaped him. What does that mean, to love? Love is a decision. Love is deciding, I'm going to love. I'm going to do this, and I'm determined to do this. Do you remember once upon a time there was a fellow by the name of Noah? Humanity had gotten off kilter. They'd run off the tracks. They were naughty. They were bad. They were doing horrible things. God was angry and decided to wipe the slate clean and start over. The flood. But there were a few that Noah and his family that are saved. But after the event, God made a decision. God made a decision. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and all humanity and be all the earth. It doesn't mean we stopped being always naughty, or some of us being naughty, some of us doing the wrong things, but it says, I won't give up on you. Love is a decision. That's what agapeo is. It involves choice and selection, and it is an affection that we show. And we are called to that love to neighbor. Love your neighbor. It's a decision. We may not even like our neighbors. I've moved around a few times, and whenever we hear that, love your neighbor, I always think, well, the ones on the one side I'm good with. But the one over there, I'm not so sure I can love that neighbor quite as much. Do you have some neighbors like that? Some unlovable, unlikable, some ones that just drive you crazy? Some that you really maybe you even fear. It's easy to have love toward those ones that you're easy with, but love is a decision. It's agapeo means I will love through all. And it's hard. You remember at some point when someone tested Jesus, said, well, who is my neighbor then? I have to love my neighbor, but who is my neighbor? Maybe I can exclude some of those I don't like. At that point in time, there was different nations that were hated. We've experienced that. And in the 40s, what nations did we hate? Japan, Germany, Italy? Yeah. The Nazis, all of that. That was the nation, and anybody in that. My dad, his parents' parents were from Germany. Freitag is German. And Grandma, Grossmama and Grosspapa spoke German in the house with a little bit of English. So Dad grew up learning two languages, English and Spanish. You don't speak German. It was not okay. You didn't do things Japanese. You didn't speak Japanese. It was just those that we hated ritually together. So who is my neighbor? Jesus answered with the parable of the Good Samaritan. Do you remember that parable? Do you remember that story? Here is a man found, we don't know who he is, but he's been beaten and robbed, and he's naked, laying in the ditch, and people walk by him. The priest walks by him because he might be dead. And if he's dead, priests are not allowed to be around dead bodies. They'll be unclean. They won't be able to serve in their priestly duties for a week. There's a all one of the Levites walks by. It's the same thing. Don't go near him. You don't know. But here comes one of those people that were the hated ones, the Samaritans. That's the fellow holding him up there on his donkey. He's a Samaritan. One of those hated ones. And Jesus asks, which one of these was the neighbor? That is the Samaritan. The ones that maybe are the hardest to love. Here we have the parable. The rich man has followed the laws. He's obeyed the laws. He's been devout his whole life. He's done wonderful things. And he's coming to the master teacher because he wants to do what's right. And he wants to be in the middle of that. And Jesus knows that. And he also knows that he's rich and that he's hung up with the things he has, that those possessions have a hold on him. And that's a stumbling block. And Jesus knows that. And Jesus loves him anyway. Jesus makes the decision. I am loving this man. Even though he walks away dispirited because his riches, his possessions were many. This is not a condemnation. We want to look at this and say, oh, that rich man, isn't he silly? Oh, we can point our finger at him and go, tisk, tisk. But Jesus is pointing out to us that we are all that man. We are all that man because, I don't know about you, but I'm not perfect. And despite that, Jesus loved him. And from that we know that Jesus loves us. Amen.